This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz. This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Bridge Zone. You're at the table with Barry, Mariana, and we have the Gin Man with us. G'day, Ross.
Hi, Mariana. Hi, Barry. Nice to talk to you from such a distance, Mariana.
So, yes, folks, I am in Vietnam.
Hey, Mr. Jim, I can see the shape you're in.
I always thought the Gin Man was short for Junior Intermediate Novice, and I found out over the weekend that you have to add an X on the end.
Oh, why is that?
He's the Jinx Man. He managed to destroy the scoring system at two different clubs.
Really? Come on, tell me more.
I thought you were talking about the X factor of the Gin Man. I'm definitely jinxed the scoring system at East Coast Base and a little bit at Putarua as well. So, yeah, not so good.
There was Caddy Caddy as well. Yeah, you had Patera.
Had a very interesting week, actually, this week.
So you put the...
Patera, yeah. What happened with the scoring system there, Ross?
They couldn't get the scores out at the end. They had a difficulty there anyway. Everywhere they seemed to have a difficulty.
So he went from Pateru to East Coast Bays. He scored 64.94 in the morning, and then the system crashed, and we couldn't get a score till the next day for the second session. By then, he got to Caddy Caddy and destroyed their scoring system as well. We had no results for most of the day. So there's one common denominator here, and we all know who it is. It's the Jinx Man.
It has to be.
The Jinx Man.
Last week was a big safari because on Wednesday night, we went down to Waitomo to play just in their club night. That was really, really nice. Yeah, we had a nice welcome from Galen and the crew there and some good bridge. And, oh, my gosh, Mariana, you should have seen the supper.
Oh, yeah, they're always impressive down there.
They know how to do a supper. Yeah. What they do is they have a roster, apparently. A group of four or five members has a month that they have to do the suppers. And I actually think there's a competition amongst them to see who can make the best ginger and walnut muffins because they were amazing. Yeah.
Oh, no.
So that was good fun. Then we went to Pateru and played there. And that was a nice little tournament. It wasn't that big. Being Thursday, you wouldn't expect it to be like 30 tables or anything. But the room was completely full and was well run. Great tournament director, Ella from Taupo. They're a really nice tournament. Had a long talk to Eileen from
the
club. What they were sort of doing to try and sustain a smallish club, even make it grow. She said it was quite a lot smaller than it was before COVID. And one thing they did, they had a couple of shields made up and they challenged the neighbouring clubs, Tokoro, I think was one, and the other one was Te Awamutu, to a month-long match. And I think they integrated just with their ordinary nights because they play on different nights. So Monday they might play at Pateru. For a month, all the people from Te Awamutu would come as well. So they would have quite a big room and a large number of Ireland felt that it was quite a nice thing to do for a couple of small clubs. I thought that was a nice suggestion. Yeah, so there was a lot of bridge played. Oh my gosh, there was a lot of bridge played all around the country, really. Canterbury had their Congress on and they had juniors, junior teams, intermediate teams and open down there. I don't know if you talked about the open. Canterbury Pairs was won by, intermediate was won by Finley Duncan and Emma Fitzgerald. The teams were won by the Smith team, which is Joyce Smith, Simon Lau, Cindy Wang and Michelle Gunn. Juniors, I couldn't find the results there. I couldn't find some results actually for around the country at all. Horowhitu had a junior tournament won by Steve Simcox and Colin Fergus. Hutt had a junior tournament won by Ollie Franklin and Keely Haslett, both from Wellington. And East Coast Bays, just alongside the intermediate tournament that we were playing in, they ran a lovely little junior come novice tournament run by Mike Ange and Charlotte Jones. The intermediate tournament there at East Coast Bays was won by Caroline Goodall and Jenny Robinson from Orewa. They've been on the circuit for a few years. It was really nice to see that. Gosh, they played good bridge that weekend. They got both scores were over 60%, left the rest of us standing, really. Ram had an intermediate tournament won by Yvonne Helps and Anne Becker, both from Kapimana. Horowhitu had an intermediate tournament that was run by Rohan Wehaya and Alan Mudford, whom we've mentioned before. And then we go through to Whangarei. They had the McGoldrick Law Intermediate Tournament run by Neil Rhodes and Rosa Crichton. And they also had their junior tournament run by Val Mack and Rhonda Booth. There was a lot of bridge played. This weekend, there's not so much on, but the following weekend, of course, is a long weekend, and this congress is in Hawke's Bay, Otago Southland in Oamaru, and also the Auckland Congress at Remuera Club. So this one you'll be interested in, Barry. The Te Awamutu restricted top intermediate pairs with Kerry McRae and Bill Leach.
Yep.
And Bill Leach is now only 2 A points off that magic 50 figure. The winning pair was Marcus Dudley from Te Puke and your
Annie Sue.
And she's only a junior. So for a junior with Marcus to win a restricted tournament, that's a really, really, really fantastic result. And apparently they were table 5 going into the last match, and they just leapfrogged the rest of the field into first place. So ups to her. Wonderful result, hey?
And Annie Sue, she was our most promising player this year. Well, that was a pretty good prediction, wasn't it? She hasn't been playing for very long, so watch out for Annie Sue. Well done to her. That should get her going.
Wonderful.
She might get to those 50 A's before you if she keeps this up, Ross.
I'm sure she will. She'll be easily able to do that. But there is one ray of sunshine at Petaru. The top intermediate pair was Deirdre Oliver and her partner. And Deirdre Oliver, of course, from East Coast Bays. There you go.
Bill can just start counting down the months because he's only got till December and he's out in the big wide world of the open players, Ross. There's no way he can escape.
Of course, he can continue playing intermediate tournaments till the end of the year, which we'd actually like him to do because we enjoy playing against him and with him. Yeah, he'll definitely have that provincial master tag.
Will he be able to resist playing at Congress? Because that's going to get him well over the line. I'm going to ask you, are you going to play at Congress? Because that could be more than a bit tricky if you go there.
He is planning to go to Congress.
Oh, he is. Definitely. No, we've already entered.
I don't know how you're going to stay under 50 if you keep getting good results at Congress.
Easy. I'll just play my normal bridge and we won't be bothering the scorer with any 8 points. So that'll be normal. No problem, Barry.
Well, we started our competition yesterday. We had the first session.
How'd you go?
Oh, we ended up with 52. We came 8th out of 28 pairs.
This isn't the convict pairs. This is called something else, is it?
It's called the Lanton pairs. L-A-N-T-O-N. And we have 11 sessions. So whoever comes out on top after the 11th session is the winner. Don't ask me what it means, but that's what it is.
What does it mean?
I don't know. I just told you. Don't ask me.
That's why I asked.
Anyway, it sounds like amazing. You did a lot of travelling. How many Ks to V points?
No, I haven't calculated, but I'll have that information for you next week, providing you have the translation.
I will.
That's right. By the way, getting back to Canterbury, we better mention, so the open teams, the Wear team won again, Mariana.
Oh, go Mikey.
So the Wear team, which was Michael Wear and Matthew McManus, Glenn Coutts and Malcolm Mayer. They did the double, but he couldn't win another pairs event. This one was taken out by
Jack James,
Leon Mayer and Jesse Palinato.
Good on them.
And if anybody's wondering what happened to Rory Jackleroy, that's my new name for Jack James, he went close. He finished 3rd in both events, but he's gone a weekend without winning.
Oh, Jackleroy, come on.
He's broken the mould.
Yes.
Anyway. Go the youth, though. Good work, indeed. Youth players. What's on the horizons for this week, Ross?
Well, as I said, there's those 3 congresses on. That's probably the bulk of the stuff. I haven't actually got a real good note of what else is on, but
Ross will be busy on Thursday night because he quite likes this Kapiti Horowhenua area pairs, and I see that's on again on Thursday.
I do, yeah. Sadly, I have to withdraw from that because, Mariana, you'll be interested. We're off to see the Water Boys.
Oh.
Deathly silence. Nobody knows what I'm talking about.
I don't know who you're talking about. I thought they brought the Oranges on at halftime and the rugby, don't they?
They're a wonderful group from the 80s. They're touring. I think what we need to do each week is just introduce a little musical trivia to the show. Just let you know some of the things that you old people should be listening to, or you young folk should be listening to, some of the really great old music. So this week, I'd recommend to our Gin Club members that you go on Spotify or Apple, dial up the Water Boys and listen to a bit of music from Water Boys. another little old group for you to rediscover. All right?
How old are these guys, Russ?
Oh, probably your age, Barry.
Come on, they must be older than that.
Dial into it. Okay. All right, I'm out of here. I'm just going to go and listen to a little bit of their music now. We'll talk to you next week, and I'll give you another little musical introduction, a little tip of what you should be listening to, okay?
Catch up with us next week. The Gin Man leads you out with the Gin Club motto.
Observa omne, neminem time. Respect all, fear none. Have a good week.
Light it.
Finally get to hear the last segment with Judge Julie on penalty cards. She also talks about Doom and Mordor.
Hear ye, hear ye, the court's in session, the court's in session. Now here come the judge, here come the judge.
Now, a penalty card is a card that has been played deliberately or a card that is an honour card. So if someone pulls out two cards from their hand, the person that pulled out both those cards, one came down with the other, says which one is being played. The clearer doesn't get the choice to tell the defenders which card they are playing, ever. The person that's playing the card will say which card they were going to play.
Out of the two.
And if the other card is below the rank of a 10, then it becomes a minor penalty card, which for want of anything else is a bloody nuisance most of the time. A penalty card arises from something that's been deliberately played when it shouldn't have been, through a revoke or a lead out of turn or something along those lines, or because it's an honour card that fell out of your hand unexpectedly, and I'm sorry, you're just doomed. When that happens, a penalty card from a lead out of turn, a defender corrects a revoke. They're played and they realise before the revoke is established, so they correct the revoke. Is the most common one where we don't get called to the table because everyone knows it's been corrected. Any time there is an infraction at the table, the director should be called. If you get called and you come to the table and the card is there, if someone's been disadvantaged because they don't know the laws and you do, the director's going to do something about that. You don't get to take advantage of poor Mrs. Smith who's been playing for 2 weeks and doesn't know the rules, and then does the wrong thing, like forgets to play the card, and now there's two penalty cards. That's not going to happen for you, because everyone knows they should call the director.
Can I just ask, when you said, when you pull out two cards,
yeah,
and you said you don't get to choose, so you choose the one that you intended to play.
But the person who pulls out the card says which one is being played.
Yep, and then the other one becomes a penalty card. Whether
minor
it's minor
or major.
Yeah. So when a revoke isn't established and you played the card, yeah, and then you say, oh, hang on, I do have one.
You have deliberately played the card that was wrong. It is a major penalty card.
Okay. That's what I was going to ask. Even though you corrected it, it's still...
You deliberately played it. All right?
Oh, thank you.
Face down leads. If you make a lead face down at a turn, the director will allow you to retract that so the lead can be made from the correct side. If you make a face-up lead out of turn, lead out of turn. There's a penalty card, you know, depending on what the clearer chooses.
It's and clear enough clearer, for you, isn't it, Barry?
Yeah.
Oh, it is. I think the word that I'm going to remember is the doomed thing. I'm wondering where it appears in the book anywhere that you're doomed.
The clearer doesn't have penalty cards, and this is because all the laws are about the flow of information that you should or you shouldn't have received, or you will or you won't receive. And the clearer, playing dummy, gets no information from the clearer except being told what to do.
There we go.
Okay, so the clearer can't have a penalty card, and the opponents can't tell the clearer what to play.
Awesome.
And if the clearer leads out of turn, or if the clearer starts to lead out of turn, just because an opponent has seen a card that the clearer has doesn't mean it has been played. There are things about when a card is or isn't played, which is a different question altogether, and I'm not going there today either.
Okay. Well, thank you for that.
Thank you, Julie. That might have helped some people next time the director comes along and gives them all these options to pick from.
Look, honestly, if you've got space in a newsletter, having insufficient bid and lead out of turn, where you get lots of choices, Perhaps it's not a bad idea to do a wee write-up about what the options are so that you have time to think. I mean, when I call a director because of a lead out of turn, most of the time it's just because I'm trying to decide what I'll do before the director gets there. You should always call the director, but it gives me time to choose what I'm going to do, if you know what I
Cool.
mean.
I've got a confession to make about the insufficient bid things. When I go along to the table as the director, if it's quite an inexperienced player and I say, you can accept that bid if you wish, I sometimes just slip in there, you normally wouldn't do that, even though I probably
Yeah.
shouldn't say
Well,
that.
it's as I said, you're not really allowed to, but if you can do something in a new seat, it is. And the other thing is about why you might accept something. If someone does something wrong, you don't say, I'll accept it because, oh, poor you've done something wrong. There is nothing worse than accepting something that someone's done and then finding out that you get a bottom board because you did that.
Well, I'm sure that there must be something worse, but I know what you mean.
Oh, there's the doom.
Yeah,
Doom,
doom.
there's doom. That's got to be worse.
We'll
Okay.
see if we can
Thank
slip
you.
it in today.
Thank you, Judge Julie.
Take care.
Have a good week. Avoid Mordor.
Hey Barry, we got some more email into the BridgeZoneShuffle at gmail.com account.
What's that old saying? They say there's gold in them thar hills. Well, this case, it's
Yeah.
in central Victoria. In more ways than one, there's gold points and it's in gold fields. So it's all about gold.
So a new
You want
National
one?
Gold Point tournament is happening in central Victoria immediately after our Congress. So if you're not all bridged out looking like a zombie, you could jump on a plane and go over to Melbourne and play. It's Wednesday the 18th of November to Sunday the 22nd of November.
Do you think you'll have played yourself into form after a couple of days in between? You'll fly over there and you'll be absolutely rocking it, or do you think you'll just be looking for somewhere to lie down?
So the format is there's a walk-in pairs on the Wednesday evening, the 18th of November. Thursdays, Swiss teams. Fridays, Swiss teams. 21st of November is Swiss pairs, and they're finishing on the 22nd, Sunday, Swiss
See, they got
pairs
one of
Friday.
my favourite directors running it, Laurie Kelso. Always runs a good tournament. He should do. He's been doing it for long enough. Hope he's not listening.
And the tournament organiser is our friend Phil Young. So, g'day, Phil, and your crew. Hope this all works out. They've got a
Yeah, good
tournament
on you,
coming up.
Phil.
Is that right, Barry? They've got something happening in Victoria the beginning of June.
That'll be the VCC you're talking about there. The Victor Champion Cup, I think it stands for. Have you seen the new ABF president speaking about the ABF? They've
No.
elected a new president.
And who is
It's not
that?
Donald Trump, I can tell you that. It's Stephen Fisher, who's a much nicer guy. So he's the new president anyway, succeeding Alison Strollo after her 8 years in the role. I've
Okay.
run into Stephen a few times. He's been in the Australian mixed teams, crossed paths with him a few times.
Anyway, what's been happening in your world?
Long-standing member of the Hamilton Bridge Club, Lindsay Reid, passed away at the age of 95. I can tell you that he won the New Zealand teams back in 1976.
Really?
He was in a team with Dave Riseborough, Cedric Friess, and Keith Bishop. And I believe Lindsay was he was the last man standing in that team. So the others have all passed away, I believe. So
Oh, good on you.
just
Yeah,
Lindsay was the last one.
he enjoyed playing bridge right up till probably late last year. Would that be fair, Barry?
Well, actually, I'm pleased you brought that up because I had a bit of a look. The last event he played was November last year, and it was the last event on the calendar, and it was called, appropriately, but little did we know, it's called the Finale Pairs. And that was Lindsay's finale, and he played with Phil Thompson anyway, they won it. So that was a good way to go out.
Very cool.
Over four sessions, 95 years of age, won the event.
I remember meeting Lindsay Reid when I was a 17-year-old, just moved from Pyrrhul to Hamilton, and he used to be the bar manager at the Lido Lounge in the Riverina at Hamilton East. And he was exactly the same, actually, Barry. Chatty, he was a very nice chap. Anyway, when I came back to Hamilton in 2016, I walked into the Bridge Club. And there was this person sitting there, and I walked straight up to him and I said, You may not remember me, but I remember you. You're Lindsay Reed, and you used to serve me pints at the Riverina. He's from Tiaruha Way, and he knew about my dad playing in the Thames Valley team that beat Australia. He was there.
He was pretty big in the golf world too, as a selector. And I think I read somewhere that he had life membership of three golf organizations. And obviously, he was a big supporter of bridge. When the Congress was held in Hamilton, he always used to go along there and
Yep, have a
kibitz and
nosy.
support the Hamilton Club players. He was a great Hamilton Bridge Club man. And you don't get too many members like Lindsay.
No, that's right. He had a friend that made those super sturdy card holders that you'd actually just lock them into the tables. They were very cool.
Another thing he always used to do was he used to walk around all over town when he was in his 80s and 90s delivering posters advertising the Hamilton Bridge Club lessons. So
That's right.
he'd go to the IRD and he'd go to the hospital. He'd go all over the place and try and talk people
Yep.
into. He certainly did his part to try and get
That's
beginners
right.
along to the lessons.
He used to
And then he
come
used
to
to
me
show
and
up at
he'd
the
say, "Have
lessons
you
to
got
help
my
as well.
posters ready? I've got my list of businesses." He was great. Anybody that knew Lindsay, he was always very happy. To the Reed family, our condolences. Hey, Barry, I know we're really tight for time, but I'm going to give you a director scenario that I had over here in Vietnam. So I'm going to ask you a director question. What happened? We were on the very last board yesterday that we were having in Ho Chi Minh City. The directors were out of the room, so William and I took turns directing, and it was my turn. They called for the director, so I jumped up and went over. The declarer was North. The Western opponent was debating the system that they were using. They opened two clubs. Their partner alerted it. East went to bid. She asked what the explanation of the two club opening was, and South gave the description as is a game force hand, 19 plus points, and has a long suit that it. So a strong game force hand. She went, okay, and then East bid two diamonds. South then doubled, and West passed, and then North bid four spades and all got passed out. They played the hand out and it made five, and then West disagreed with the description of the two club alert because he didn't have 19 plus points and he felt that he should have had 19 plus points. And so I said, was the description of the alerted bid the correct one for the system that you're playing? And the declarer said, yes, and partner said, yes, it is. And then West said, but he did not have 19 points. And I said, regardless of what he had, the correct description for that bid was made. So I'm going to let the result stand. And Sal said, I don't want to cause any harm. So if you want to, we won't claim game. And I said, what do you mean? I said, are you going to say that it went light? And she said, look, we'll just give them the points. And I said to her, how many points would you like to give them? She said, well, I would like to give them zero. And I said to West, I said, look, West, you can evaluate your hand however you evaluate. And if you believe that it fits into the category of the two clubs, then that's entirely up to you. You can upgrade or downgrade whatever it is, but the description was exactly what is set in their system. That's the rules. If it had been untrue or if it wasn't the correct explanation, I said you might have some legs to stand on, but it doesn't, and the contract makes five.
It is going to give them a bit of a problem next time he opens two clubs, isn't it? They've got a problem next time partner opens two clubs, haven't they?
Yes, that's right. I did say to her, I said, if he becomes a habit of doing that and you're saying 19 plus, I said, you have to add a couple more words in. Previously, partner hasn't had 19 plus, but strong enough hand where he feels it is game for.
I mean, I think you made the right ruling, but I still think that's a long way away from 19 points. That's obviously I think next time they open two clubs, they probably need to say, well, I don't know what they're going to say. It's not like it was even close to 19 points. It was 30. Sounds to me like he thinks it's okay to open two clubs just because he's got nine spades to the ace, king, queen. Well, you know, that's what it sounds like, doesn't it? I don't think you're meant to open a hand like that.
No, well, it doesn't meet the rule of 29.
What really gets to me about that rule of 29 thing, well, it's not a rule, it's just a, you know, that's what they call it, is that it's okay not to meet the rule of 29 as long as you alert two clubs and say it may not reach the rule of 29. And I think that's actually wrong, but that's how it works at the moment. And that's an extreme example when somebody's opening two clubs with a 13 count. It doesn't meet the rule of 29. It's just a 13 count with a whole lot of spades.
Why couldn't he just open one spade, partner respond, and then bid four spades? I mean,
well, he could have just bid four spades if he wanted to.
Well, he could have, yeah.
Seriously, what is she going to say next time? I don't know. What can she say?
That's right. What Julie says, partner is known to open two clubs with less than our system agreement of 19. But what I do know is that partner will be bidding game. How they've evaluated it, something like that.
But it's not like you can even say you'll have a strong hand. He hasn't really got a particularly strong hand. He's just got a lot of spades. That's given her a real problem next time. You got to know when to hold
up, know when to fold up. Okay, hey, Will, why don't you give me a tip on that? So you've heard us talking about this rule. So, yeah, have you got any tips on how people do cope when partner uses a system bid but doesn't quite meet it in high card points?
I don't know whether the directors are going to thank me for this, but I've clarified this with a few directors because I wouldn't know. But this thing, they call it the rule of 29, but that's not it. It's just a way to work out whether your hand's strong enough to open two clubs and not have to alert it. From what I've been told, it's okay to open two clubs with a hand that doesn't meet the rule of 29, as long as you alert two clubs. And when they ask what it is, you say it's a strong hand, or it's either 23 plus or a game-forcing hand, but it may not meet the rule of 29. Now, what I haven't been able to figure out is, how low can you go, Mariana? I mean, this isn't a limbo question.
Yeah.
But I mean, what sort of hand are you allowed to open two clubs with 10 spades to the ace, king, queen, jack? I don't believe that's what is meant to happen. And I don't even think it's a particularly good strategy. I don't think it's going to help you. Whoa, here he comes again. Fastest
thing. Who's that? Ethel? Is that you, Ethel? That's all we've got time for this week, folks. Join us next week when Barry finishes his tips. Take care, and we'll see you at the table.
Bye for now.
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring Bridge from beginner to international, nationwide.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.